हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम 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 केशव माधव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम केशव माधव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम राम राम जय राजा राम 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 जय सीताराम राम राम जय राजा राम 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 जय सीताराम राम 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 सीताराम राम 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 सीताराम राम 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 सीताराम राम 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 सीताराम राम 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 सीताराम 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 जय जय राम सीताराम जय जय राम सीताराम जय जय राम सीताराम राम सीताराम जय जय राम सीताराम Jai Jai Ram Sita Ram, 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 Jai Ram Sita Ram, Jai Jai Ram Sita Ram. Om Sadashivasamarambham Vyasa Shankaramadhyamam Asmadacharya Pariyantam Vande Guru Paramparam Shruti Smriti Purananam Alayam Karunalayam Namami Bhagavat Padam Shankaram Loka Shankaram Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutra Bhashya Krutau Vande Bhagavantau Punah Punah Om Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om Om Sahanavavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shanti
Last class we saw the Anubandha Chatushtayam, the fourfold factors pertaining to any text. Even though these four Anubandhas are not integral part of the textbook, but they need to be understood before the study of any textbook. The knowledge of the Anubandha Chatushtayam is like having the starter before you start your meals, which means it should make your meal thoroughly enjoyable, isn't it? Like that, the study should become enjoyable. Therefore, we always know the Anubandhas before we begin the text. And there, the Adhikari is the first factor. That is where we stopped last class. We have to go to the text. So before we go there, we have to do the Mangalacharanam first. Every class will be reading the first verses, the Mangalacharanam verses, so that you'll all get it correctly how to recite this. Akhandam Sachidanandam, Akhandam Sachidanandam, Avang Manasa Gocharam, Avang Manasa Gocharam, Atmanam Akhiladharam, Atmanam Akhiladharam, Ashraye Bhishta Siddhaye, Ashraye Bhishta Siddhaye, Arthato Pyadvayanandan, Pyadvayanandan, Atita Dvaita Bhanata, Atita Dvaita Bhanata, Guru Naradhya,
Guru Naradhya,
Vedanta Saram,
Vedanta Saram,
Vakshe Yathamati,
Vakshe Yathamati.
From here onwards, the prose begins. The prose part of the text begins. Vedanto nama.
Vedanto nama.
Upanishad pramanam.
Upanishad pramanam.
Tad. Upakarini.
Upakarini.
Sharirakha. Sutradinicha.
Sutradinicha.
Sharirakha Sutradinicha. Asya. Vedanta.
Vedanta.
Prakaranatvat. Tadiyaihi eva. Anubandhaihi tadvatta siddhehe nate prithag alochaniyaha tatra anubandho nama adhikari vishaya sambandha prayojanani. So in this fifth sentence, the author presents anubandha nama. In Sanskrit language, the word nama means name. One meaning is what? Name. When you say his name is Lucian, Lucian or Lucian?
Lucian.
Lucian. His name is Lucian. You can say Nama Lucian. Name is Lucian. Name. Nama is name. But some places the word nama is used to mean means. Anubandha means anubandha nama. Nothing but a set of fourfold factors. What are they? Adhikari vishaya sambandha prayojanani. Adhikari vishaya sambandha prayojanani. Anubandha means adhikari vishayaha sambandha prayojanam. When all the four are put together, they make it short like this. Adhikari vishaya sambandha prayojanani. So if you take each word separately, adhikari, the qualified student of the scripture, is sadhikari. Then vishayaha, the subject matter of the textbook, shastram, that we are going to study. Then sambandaha, connection. Prayojanam, benefit, or the fruit of knowledge you gain by studying this text, prayojana. So these are the four anubandhas, and I have given you the literal meaning. Why? Because I need not elaborate these four factors, four anubandhas. The author himself very beautifully, you know, slowly he elaborates each anubandha. So first, the sixth, which is where we stopped last class, adhikari. Who is an adhikari? Who is the eligible for this, eligible for knowledge? That is said here. So well, let us read this once, and here you will see every, who is adhikari, what is vishayaha, what is sambandaha, what is prayojanam. Okay, each factor will be explained beautifully by this author himself. So we'll read and understand. We need not think, oh, Swamini has mentioned Anubandha Chatushtayam, fourfold factors involved in the textbook, any textbook. She mentioned the fourfold factors as Adhikari, Vishayaha, Sambandaha, Prayojanam. She just only gave a literal meaning of these words. We have not understood anything. So don't think that way, because the author himself is explaining every word. So he defines an Adhikari in the sixth paragraph. It's not one paragraph, it's one sentence, okay? Long sentence. Look at this. Adhikari to see the last word, Pramata. Adhikari is Pramata. Adhikari is Pramata. The first qualification required for studying the Shastram, thereby to understand the content of the Shastram and to benefit by the knowledge you gain by studying the Shastram, first qualification you require is that one must be a Pramata. Pramata literally means the knower. But here we can take it as the one who wants to know. The one who wants to know. So who, the one who wants to know alone can know. If there is no desire for knowledge, how can you know? Therefore, desire for knowledge is very important. Therefore, here Pramata is the one who wants to know the truth, the one who wants to know the content of the text book he is studying, which means the one who knows the benefit, one who knows the value of the knowledge he is going to gain by studying the textbook. Therefore, one who wants to know the content of the subject matter of the textbook, he is called Pramata. But literally the word Pramata means what? The knower, subject of knowledge, which I had told you earlier. So Pramata. And another simple definition of the Adhikari, the eligible student, is Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha. Before Pramata you have another word, Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha. Another small word. So Sampannaha means the one who is endowed with, one who has. He has what? Sadhana Chatushtayam. Chatushtayam again means a set of four. Sadhanam means a means. So Sadhana Chatushtayam here means the fourfold qualifications, a set of fourfold qualifications is called Sadhana Chatushtayam. Sampannaha means the one who is endowed with. So Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha means the one who is endowed with fourfold qualifications. So last class I explained to you what those fourfold qualifications were, no? Fourfold qualifications. So first I said, the most important qualification is what? Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha. Nitya means permanent, eternal, everlasting, timeless. Anityam means time-bound, ephemeral, impermanent. So vastu means object, literally a substance. So nitya anitya vastu, vivekaha means discrimination, discriminative knowledge, discriminative understanding. So discriminative understanding of what is permanent, what is impermanent is the first qualification. This discriminative, why should one have this discriminative knowledge? If a person does not have this discriminative knowledge, one cannot aspire for the permanent. Now, one will be searching for the permanent in impermanent thing. Then the search will be endless. The search will never come to an end. One has to understand what one seeks ultimately in life is the absolute peace and happiness. And nobody is interested really in happiness or peace, which is time-bound, which comes and goes away from one. So everyone wants happiness, means that happiness which will be everlasting, which will last forever. Therefore, what one seeks happens to be the absolute peace and happiness, which means everlasting happiness, which is otherwise said to be limitless happiness. And that one cannot get, by accomplishing something which is time-bound. Or within the time-bound, ephemeral thing, one cannot search for, one cannot attain that permanent happiness. It is simple logic. Impermanent cannot give permanent, anything permanent, isn't it? Permanent happiness. To understand this, it is very important for him to have this discriminative knowledge of what is permanent and what is impermanent, so that he will search for the permanent happiness in permanent, not in impermanent. Isn't it? Then, which means you understand this, all that is available in this world, being time-bound, impermanent. Therefore, you understand that the permanent is only the reality. Therefore, it is the permanent reality alone can give him permanent happiness, sukham. So that he can go in pursuit of the knowledge of the permanent, in search of that permanent. Isn't it? This is the first qualification. Then second thing we saw was, I'm not elaborating on this, I'm making it short explanation. The second is vairagyam. Vairagyam, again I said, vairagyam is dispassion. So dispassion is again another important qualification. The vairagyam implies the maturity born of the understanding. What is it understanding? That everything in this universe happens to be time-bound. And the time-bound thing cannot give me permanent happiness because of discriminative knowledge he has. And naturally he grows out of desire for the impermanent things. Isn't it? The impermanent things cannot give me what I am seeking. What I am seeking is permanent. Therefore, impermanent things cannot give me the permanent happiness. This is what understanding the limitations of everything else in this world. So knowing the limitations of everything, that they cannot really fulfill my wish, my need. They cannot give me what I am seeking in life. With this understanding, one naturally has to grow out of desire or passion for everything else in the world. Then when he discovers passion for knowledge of the truth, the reality. Knowing the value of the knowledge of the permanent, the reality. When a person discovers passion for the knowledge of the reality, Naturally, one grows out of passion for everything else in the world, knowing their limitations, that they cannot give what he or she seeks in life. It's called what? Dispassion, vairagyam. That's why dispassion should not be mistaken or misunderstood. It's maturity. Because always people mistake this qualification, dispassion, as something which that one has to leave everything behind and run away, go somewhere. It is not simply running away from things, leaving behind everything. That is not dispassion, isn't it? You don't need to go anywhere. It's just the maturity. Therefore, the second qualification. The third one also we saw last class. Sixfold disciplines. Shamaha, Damaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam. I'll repeat. Shamaha, mental discipline, thought discipline otherwise. Damaha, sensory discipline. Uparamaha, commitment to duties and withdrawal from unwanted, unnecessary, useless activities. Uparamaha. Titiksha, forbearance, tolerance, endurance. Titiksha, learning to remain equanimous in all situations, desirable and undesirable. Titiksha, Shraddha. Shraddha is unflinching faith. The words of the Shastram, the scripture, the teaching, scriptural teaching and the teacher is Shraddha. Then Samadhanam is focused attention. Being focused means reminding oneself of one's ultimate end being moksha in the form of knowledge of the reality. Being clear about one's end being moksha. Being focused. This is Samadhanam. So these sixfold disciplines form the third qualification. And the fourth qualification is Mumukshutvam. Mumukshutvam means desire for freedom. Having the desire for freedom. Having the desire for freedom is mumukshutvam. Mokshaha means freedom. And mumukshuhu means being desirous of, the one who is desirous of freedom is mumukshuhu. And mumukshutvam means having desire for freedom. Having desire for freedom means what? Having burning urge. No, for freedom. I want be free. That burning urge for freedom is mumukshutvam. Tivra Icha is called mumukshutvam. Therefore, these are these fourfold qualifications. So one who is endowed with these fourfold qualifications, knowing the value of knowledge, one who wants to know the truth is adhikari. It is simple meaning. Sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha pramata adhikari. How can one become qualified How can one become endowed with fourfold qualifications? How can one become qualified? For which he explains the whole thing from the beginning. Vidhivat, say no, Vidhivat, Adhita Veda,
Adhita Veda,
Vedangatvena,
Vedangatvena,
Apatataha,
Apatataha,
Adhigata,
Akhila,
Vedarthaha. Once, first, we have to understand that first. Vidhivat adhita veda vedangatvena apatataha adhigata akhila vedarthaha. Adhigata akhila vedarthaha. Adhigata means understood. Akhila means entire. Veda, the Veda. Arthaha, meaning. See, Adhigata Akhila Vedarthaha means the one who has the knowledge or understanding of the core vision of the Veda. The one who understood, one who has got the knowledge or knowledge or understanding of the core vision of the Veda, or the core vision of the entire Veda. Akhila Vedarthaha. Adhigata Akhila Vedarthaha. So for one to become Adhigata Akhila Vedarthaha, for the one to become, to have the clear, you know, understanding of the core vision of the entire Veda, one must have had what now? Somehow, apatataha. Apatataha means generally. Generally, one has the general knowledge of the core vision of this entire Veda. How does one get this knowledge? He says, Vidhivat Adhita Veda Vedangatvena. By studying the Veda and the Vedangas. As a brahmachari, when a person begins his study, you know, he studies Vedas. And he also studies Veda Angas. Four Vedas, Rig, Yajus, Sama, Atharvana Vedas. And Veda Angas means six auxiliary sciences. Veda Angas. And when a student starts studying his Veda, how does he study? He studies the mantras. He learns to recite the Veda mantras. He learns to chant the Veda mantras. The Vedic study involves two steps. A student is supposed to learn the Veda mantras. How just to recite the Veda mantras? He has to start learning the recitation or chanting of the Veda mantras first. When a student starts learning the recitation of the Veda mantras, when he learns to chant the Veda mantras, he is supposed to memorize all the Veda mantras. Any Vedic student is supposed to memorize all the Veda mantras first. Because those days they did not have textbook like this to turn the pages. So the whole textbook has to go into the student's mind. So when this teacher is going to explain later on, then he should turn the pages in his mind itself. Oh, this is what the teacher is saying. This is what the teacher is saying, isn't it? for the student should be able to read the turn the pages of the Vedic text where they never had a printed material, no downloaded pages, no, not even manuscripts. They had to just sit folding their hands and legs in front of the teacher. I'm talking about the Vedic Pitaka. Don't worry. We don't need to worry about those things. I'm just telling, I want to understand how the culture used to be, you know, how those days were. Without any facility also, they accomplished a lot. Great thinkers were there. That's what I wanted to say. So the whole Veda, a student studies the chanting just to memorize the Veda mantras. So the whole Vedic text now is in his memory. So mantra kantasthi karanam, you know, just memorizing all the mantras. And he can't memorize on his own. Even to memorize the mantras, he has to learn correctly how to chant them with the proper swaras, padas, pronunciation, etc. Therefore, the proper pronunciation, punctuation, swaras, everything he learns from the teacher. And the study of the Veda mantras, for chanting them correctly from the teacher, it's called a Veda Adhyayanam. Adhyayanam means the study of the mantras. Later on, there'll be a time when he will start understanding the meanings of mantras in depth with the proper unfoldment and explanations. Later on, there'll be a time when he'll understand the explanation, the meanings of the mantras properly explained and unfolded. So in order, that's called Veda Mimamsa. Mimamsa means analytical study of the mantras. Analytical study of the mantras means what? Understanding the meaning of every word, everything properly, correctly, all explanations. Which means having the in-depth vision, understanding of the meaning of the mantras. It's called Veda Mimamsa. Therefore, the Vedic study involves two steps. Veda Adhyayanam first, Veda Mimamsa study later on. So, without the Veda Adhyayanam, Veda Mimamsa study is not possible. Why? Because when the teacher teaches the mantras, explains the meaning, the student must be able to turn, no, just quickly move on to all the mantras, whichever mantra he mentions, he has to be able to turn mentally all the pages. It's called Veda Adhyayanam, okay? It's called Vedic study. So, Adhikrita Veda, Vedaha means one who has studied, but here, the student is not the one who has done the Veda Mimamsa study, but the one who has studied only, one who has done only the Veda Adhyayanam. Adhikrita Vedaha here does not mean the one who has studied all the mantras thoroughly with in-depth meaning of the mantras, but the one who has studied only the Veda Parayanam, the chanting of the mantras, thereby one who has memorized the mantras. And not only he has memorized the mantras, the one who has studied also the auxiliary sciences, which one has to understand for the proper understanding of the Veda mantras later on. They're called Veda Angani. Veda Angani. So here, the one who has studied the Veda Parayanam, the Vedic chanting, and the Veda six auxiliary sciences, the Veda Angas, has some general knowledge, okay, the outline knowledge of the, what now, the entire Veda. Vidhivat means one who has studied Vedas properly, the Vedic chanting properly, along with Vedangas, thereby apatataha adigata akila Vedartaha. Because of his being given to the study of the Vedic chanting along with the study of the auxiliary sciences, he has what now? Apatata jnanam. He has the general knowledge of, not the thorough knowledge, has some understanding of the entire Veda. So, what is the general knowledge he would have had by studying the Veda and Vedangas, studying the Vedic chanting and Vedangas? Generally, this student must have had Sanskrit language knowledge. As he studies this Vedic chanting and Vedangas, he would have definitely understood many things. One important thing he understands is that any karma definitely produces fruit, but karma itself is, any action itself is time bound, and therefore the fruit of the action also is definitely time bound. He knows in order to accomplish artha, kama, dharma, and the karmas prescribed in the karma kanda of the Veda are very, very useful. By performing those rituals, and he can really accomplish all those time-bound ends. So performance of rituals will bless him only with the time-bound ends. That much he will definitely know. And he definitely knows the everlasting, timeless end, everlasting freedom, everlasting happiness, permanent happiness cannot be accomplished as a result of an action, a performance of, result of an action, a ritual. That also he understands. And he knows not only the pleasures which are enjoyable in this world, even the pleasures which can be enjoyed in higher lokas also can be accomplished by performing rituals. But still, even the enjoyment of the pleasures which can be enjoyed in higher lokas, such as heaven, etc., even those pleasures are also time-bound in nature. It is possible by performing rituals, by performing action, one can earn punyam, and with the help of which one can accomplish even supernatural, you know, powers, etc. One can accomplish, because the scriptures talk about heaven, etc. One can accomplish the heavenly pleasures, one can enjoy. He understands that, but still he knows even those heavenly pleasures are time-bound. Because going to heaven or accomplishing in the heavenly, the such higher ends, and enjoyment of heavenly pleasures also will not give him what? Will not really give him permanent happiness or freedom. Even those enjoyments also are time-bound in nature. Or he'll understand. This is all general knowledge. What I'm saying, apatata adhikrita, we say adhigata akhila vedartaha, means this all knowledge he gets. See, the knowledge of heaven being there, the knowledge of hell being there. Heaven and hell means what? If a person, he also understands this much, if a person lives a life of dharma, then it is a punyam. If a person's life is not in conformity with dharma, if a person performs actions which transgress the values unconformity with dharma, and definitely those actions will, you know, produce only papam. As a result of papam, one has to go through pain in the lower lokas. If a person accumulates a special punyam, then with help of which one can go to higher lokas, swarga, etc. So knowledge of swarga and the, how important it is for one to live a life of dharma. Living a life of dharma blesses one with the punyam. So performing actions against dharma will incur in papam, sin, as a result of which one has to really suffer in life. So pain is always a result, the pain that we experience in life is definitely the translation of the papam which one accumulates as a result of one's own wrong actions. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Whenever a person goes through suffering or any pain, and that pain is actually the experience, that pain that experienced is result of papa karma, result of the rapa sin, which one has accumulated by doing knowingly or unknowingly, intentionally, unintentionally. Somehow one must have done an action which is not right, isn't it? Which a wrong action. And for the who people or situations become only instrumental for going through that pain. Therefore, for sukham and dukkham, the pain and pleasure, both are time bound. Pain also comes and goes, pleasure also comes and goes. The sukham and dukkham, pain and pleasure, which come as results of punya papa, which one earns by doing right or wrong actions. And these punya papas are determined by natural laws. Therefore, no individual is responsible for these punya papas. So all this all general knowledge a student gains during the study of, or after the study of, the Vedic chanting and Vedangas. The general knowledge. When he understands, therefore sometimes after the study, the two options for the student. Two options means what? Sometimes the brahmachari becomes very mature. As a student, when he completes his Veda adhyayanam, the Vedic chanting along with the Veda angas, having understood this general information from the study, he becomes very mature and he can decide. He can decide what? Let me not enter into this grihastha ashrama. Let me not enter into this grihastha ashrama. Let me not wait for long to accomplish knowledge. I'm not interested in artha kama dharma. I'm not interested in artha kamas at all. Artha kamas are very important for living this life, no doubt. But I don't want, you know, I really want jnanam. What I desperately want is knowledge, because it is this knowledge which alone will free me from bondage. If a brahmachari is very mature, even by studying this Veda itself, if he understands as a mature boy, student, and he might have done a lot of purva punya, the good karma in his previous janmas also. Definitely most of the times, the purva punya karma, no? Purva punya karma means the actions performed in one's previous lives. if those actions were really righteous actions, and if a person has really earned a lot of punyam, as a result of that punyam also, immediately after this brahmacharya of student life, and he really decides, he becomes disinterested in other ashramas, he straight away, he skips the grihastha ashrama, and he can skip the even vanaprastha ashrama, straight away take to a life of sannyasa. So such a student who straight away goes to sannyasa ashrama, skipping the other two ashramas, is said to be naishtika brahmachari. It's called naishtika brahmacharyam. Naishtika brahmacharyam means after the brahmacharya ashrama, going through the student's life, living a student's life, having studied these basic, the chanting, etc., having understood lot of facts revealed by the Veda, as a mature person, knowing the value of knowledge and knowing the moksha being the choiceless ultimate end, he wants to take to a life of sannyasa. So it means he wants to commit himself to the pursuit of knowledge for accomplishing knowledge, thereby to accomplish moksha. This skipping this grihastha vanaprastha ashramas, going straight from the student life to the ascetic life, is called what? Naishtika brahmacharyam. So the naishtika brahmachari is a sannyasi who is not wise, who has not yet accomplished knowledge, but who is called Vividisha Sannyasi. Who is called Vividisha Sannyasi means the one who wants to know the reality. Who is not a jnani, but still who has yet to know the truth. So who is totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge to the exclusion of all other pursuits. Such a sannyasi will be taken care of by the society. All his basic needs will be taken care of by society, which means he can spend all his time only for studying the scriptures and sharing his knowledge with others through teaching. Okay, that's called such a sannyasi. So naishtika brahmacharyam is adopted by a Vividisha sannyasi. Who can do that? Only the one who has general understanding of many facts revealed in the Shastram. For this student, the facts are acceptable because he is a Vaidikaha. He has faith in the Veda. Therefore, he studied the Vedic chanting and other Vedangas. And that study itself has given him lot of understanding. So, he can choose to become a brahmacharya, naishtika brahmacharya. Choose to become a Vividisha sannyasi. Choose to follow the naishtika brahmacharyam. Otherwise, there's a next option. Otherwise, even after having studied the Vedic chanting, even after having studied the six Vedangas, and even after having the general understanding of all this, many things, facts revealed in the Veda, still a person may be interested in arthakama pursuits. Natural, isn't it? So, Shastram does not expect everyone to become a sannyasi. all the brahmacharis are not supposed to, not expected to, no, expected to go for Naishtika Brahmacharyam. Only very few, very few go for Naishtika Brahmacharyam. But most of the students, majority of the students, after the Veda Adhyayanam, they enter into, supposed to enter into Grihastha Ashrama, household life. Which means they have to get married properly, and they have to enter into the household life. There again, so after the study, after this much study, whenever a person enters into a Naishtika Brahmacharyam as a Vidisha Sannyasi, or whether he enters into a Grihastha Ashrama, this person must be what both these people are very clear about one thing. They know the value of Dharma. Okay, a Grihastha, whether a Brahmachari chooses to become a Grihastha Ashrami, a householder, or whether he chooses to become a Vidisha Sannyasi, Naishtika Brahmachari otherwise, he knows the value of values. And he knows the importance of his duties, ashrama, following his own ashrama dharmas, duties. So as a Grihastha Ashrami also, as a householder, when he enters into this householder life also, he knows, and he is going to get married, or you know, he's married, he has his wife, and he knows this marriage is not for simply here. Marriage is for the marriage is for the progeny, for the perpetuation of dharma. Dharma praja abhivridhyartam vivahaha. Vivahaha, because it's a vivahaha itself is what? A special, you know, he is going to take a different responsible, it's going to be a different responsible life. He's going to really bear. Visheshena vahati. He's going to really lead his life very differently from the time of marriage onwards. The new responsibility comes. The marriage is for, is a great, again there's a big commitment. Marriage is for progeny. And the progeny is for what? For the perpetuation of dharma. So with this understanding, the person enters into the Grihastha Ashrama life. That's why any Vaidika should have a very peaceful, quiet, you know, enjoyable household life. Amidst all problems and unpleasant, unhappy situations also, a Vaidika's life will be a better life because he is very mature. Isn't it? Relatively he is mature. Because the study itself blesses him with adequate maturity to live his life peacefully, because he's committed to dharma, and that he knows his duties. That's why he will have all these disciplines also. He will live a very disciplined life. After Veda Adhyayanam, the one who enters into the Grihastha Ashrama life will not live an indisciplined life, will live a very disciplined life, a highly dutiful person he will be. Therefore, dutifully performing his actions, consciously living a life of dharma, definitely this person is very a disciplined person. So here, that's what he says. Therefore, he says, this brahmachari, vidhivat adita veda vedangatvena apatataha adhigata akila vedartaha, means having a general knowledge of the entire Veda, this brahmachari can choose to become a sannyasi, vidisha sannyasi, choose to go for naishtika brahmacharyam, or he can choose to go for householder's life, whatever it is. Then he's the next, he says, janmani, asmin janmani, or janmantareva. Either in this life or in his previous life. No? Now we are going to say no. Kamya, say no. Nishiddha. Varjana. Purasaram. See, Kamya, Nishiddha, Varjana, Purasaram. See, Kamya karmas, this person, after his study, what does he do? Knowing how he should live his life, the way of life. Kamya karma, Nishiddha karma, Varjana, Purasaram. Kamya karmas, we'll see all those things now. He gives up kamya karmas, he gives up nishiddha karmas, which means his life is devoid of kamya karmas and nishiddha karmas. Now this person, as the one whose life is devoid of kamya nishiddha karmas. Kamya karmas means the actions performed for fulfilling, specifically for fulfilling their specific desires. Kamya karmas. Kamya karma, I repeat it, kamya karma means performance of actions specifically for fulfilling their desires. Kamya karmas. Nishiddha karma means the actions which are prohibited. So this person avoids the prohibited actions. He also avoids the actions specifically performed for fulfilling his desires. Okay, he avoids. Nishiddha karmas? What are those kamya karmas? Don't get confused. This is such a beautiful text. This author is going to explain everything now, later on. He is going to explain what is nishiddha karma, what is kamya karma. He is going to explain everything step by step. Okay, I'm only giving you just little meaning now. Why I'm not explaining now? Because he is going to explain. What shall I do then? So I had to go with his explanation. That's why don't get confused, don't get frightened. Even though it sounds as though there's a lot of Sanskrit, every word is going to be explained by the author himself. I had to only explain what he explains. Okay? Okay. So, kamya karmas mean the actions performed specifically for fulfilling one's desires. Nishiddha karmas means the prohibited actions. Then, varjana purasaram means the life devoid of prohibited actions and the kamya karmas. Now, next, nitya. Say no. Naimittika. Prayaschitta. upasana,
upasana,
anushthanena.
Anushthanena.
Now this person who has studied the Veda and Vedic chanting along with the six Veda Angas properly has the overall general knowledge of the entire Veda. Thereby, he performs what now? He follows, he lives his life performing only Nitya Naimittika Prayaschitta Upasana. Now, Nitya Karma means the duties which are to be compulsorily performed. So, compulsory actions are said to be Nitya Karmas. The word Nitya means always, not that they're daily and all. So, Nityam can be taken as the compulsory duties, not Nitya Karma. The Naimittikam Karma means the actions to be performed occasionally. Naimittikam karma. Then prayaschitta karma means the actions performed for neutralizing unknowingly, inevitably done papa karma. Okay, unknowingly, inevitably you might have done something wrong, and to neutralize those ill effects of the unknowingly done papa karma, you can do some karma which is called prayaschitta karma. Then upasanam. Upasana means following, practicing meditation, using the meditative techniques prescribed in the Upasana Kanda. Practicing meditations, using the meditative techniques prescribed in the Upasana Kanda. It's called Upasana. Anushthanena means following. Anushthana means living, no, following. So this person follows what? He performs a Nitya Karma. This is his lifestyle. He follows this lifestyle. No, he lives his life wherein he performs compulsory duties. He performs a Naimittikam Karma, the occasionally performed actions. And he also performs Prayaschitta Karma, the actions performed for neutralizing the ill effects of unknowingly done actions. Then upasana, he also practices what? He practices meditation in keeping with meditative techniques prescribed in the Upasana Kanda. Avoiding the prohibited and avoiding pratishiddha and kamya karmas. So so many karmas are there. There is a nishiddha karma, kamya karma. These two karmas this person avoids. So any spiritual aspirant avoids these two. Avoids what? Kamya karma. Also avoids nishiddha karma. Don't get frightened. Oh my God, kamya karma I should not do or what? See, kamya karma means performing actions for specific ends. Now, specifically for fulfilling desires, isn't it? That does not mean you should not fulfill your desires. In fact, any action, every action you do in order to fulfill your desires only. Okay? That is why when I simply simple translation of these words I'm giving you, the author is going to explain everything. Every karma is going to explain later on. So here, therefore, he avoids. Here, the adhikari here is the one who avoids kamya karma, nishiddha karma, But he does not avoid, he definitely performs other three karmas. What are they? Nitya karma, naimittikam karma, prayaschittam karma. And he also practices meditation. Three types of karma he performs, and he practices meditation. He avoids two types of karma. There are five types of karma we have studied now. Can you remember again? What are those five types of karma? Kamya karma, Nishiddha karma, Nitya karma, Naimittikam karma, Prayaschittam karma. Five types of karmas, five types of actions. Of these five, one avoids, an intelligent person avoids first two types of karma. He avoids what? He avoids kamyam karma and nishiddham karma. He definitely, what he does not avoid, he definitely performs is nityam karma, naimittikam karma and prayaschittam karma. So along with these three types of karma, he also practices meditation. Following this anushtanena, for a person to be able to avoid in his life kamya karma, to avoid prohibited actions and necessarily, deliberately to perform nityam karma, naimittikam karma, prayaschittam karma, to practice meditation, he must be strong-willed person. He must be the one who has surrendered his will to Dharma and Bhagavan. Understand? Which means he must know the value of moksha. He must know the moksha being his choiceless ultimate end, and he must know the value of the knowledge, and he must be committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and he must know the limitations of everything. Is it? For that, what helped him to know all those things? Just the Vedic study of the Vedic, the time he spent. When a person is given to the study of the Vedic chanting along the study of the auxiliary sciences itself, he becomes so mature. Understand? And for which you might ask, my God, how is it possible for one to give up all this, and all that? That's why he must have done a lot of punya karma, asmin janmani, either in this life. The author is very careful, or at least janmantareva, at least in one's past lives, one must have done lot of punya karma, good karma, or in this life or in the other lives, one must have done lot of punyam karma, one must have earned lot of punyam, as a result of which alone one can follow this life of nitya naimittika pratishiddha karmas with the practice of meditation, avoiding kamya and nishiddha karmas. Is it clear? When a person lives his life avoiding kamya karma, avoiding nishiddha karma, performing nitya naimittika prayaschitta karmas, practicing meditation, when a person lives his life of dharma. See, when you say he avoids kamya karma, nishiddha karma, means he is living a life of dharma. Okay. When he lives, as a result of which, anushtanena, by following this life, this sort of life, What happens? Nirgata Nikhila Kalmashataya. Nirgata Nikhila Kalmasha. Kalmashata. Nirgata Nikhila Kalmashata means he becomes the one from whom all the blemishes have gone. He becomes free from all blemishes. All blemishes go away from him. Nirgata Nikhila. Nirgata means have gone, have left. Nikhila means all. Kalmasha means blemishes. Sins. And not sins, impurities. Not the sins, impurities. So Nirgata Nikhila Kalmashata means enjoying the status of being the one from whom only blemishes and impurities have gone. Which means having become pure and clean. How does he become pure-minded? Just by living this disciplined life. Living a disciplined life means what? Practices meditation. Not just the practicing meditation, he performs Nitya Karma, he performs Prayaschitta Karma, he performs Naimittikam Karma, he cautiously avoids Nishiddham Karma and Kamya Karma. What he avoids, what he rejects, what he carefully performs. Understand? Which means he has discretion in action, isn't it? He avoids. Therefore, such a person alone then becomes pure-minded. Nirgata Nikhila Kalmashata. Kalmashataya. Having become pure, having become free from all impurities, and how he says, Nitanta Nirmala Swantaha. Nitanta means very highly, perfectly pure-minded. Nirmala. Now, very highly or perfectly, he becomes pure-minded. Having become pure, perfectly, highly pure. Nitanta means very here. Which means, now, he is not any more afflicted by, you can ask this, what does it mean by saying, Nirgata Nikhila Kalmashataya Nitanta Nirmala Swantaha. The one who has become highly pure-minded, being free from all blemishes, impurities, what does it mean? What does it mean? Being free from all blemishes and impurities, he becomes pure-minded means what? He becomes free from the afflictions and disturbances caused by the raga, dvesha, moha, mada, matsarya. Which means he is no more disturbed. He still has kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. He still has jealousy. He still has hatred. He still has all of them. Having them is not a problem. But being disturbed, allowing them to disturb you is a problem. Which means you have to manage them. When you manage them, they don't disturb you. If they don't, you don't manage them, they will disturb you. Isn't it? This person, you can't say he is absolutely free from those, likes and dislikes. He is not absolutely free from, if he is absolutely free from all of them, he is wise. He is a wise person. He is a jnani. He is not absolutely free from his likes and dislikes, ragadveshas. He is not absolutely free from anger, jealousy, hatred, fear, desire, etc. But still, he is not disturbed by them anymore. Which means, he is not afflicted by them anymore. Which means, he is able to he is not enslaved by them anymore. He is able to manage them very well. Which means he is relatively pure. Understand? This is what I taught in Bhagavad Gita when I was teaching. I taught you, remember, he becomes relatively pure. One has to become relatively pure in order to become absolutely pure. So absolute purity is only in jnanam. But relative purity itself is not that easy accomplished. It itself is a great achievement, which means you are intelligently managing them. Which means those emotions do not disturb you anymore. When you are disturbed by them, and your actions and external behavior will be expressions of those emotions which will contribute, which will result in damaging very relationships, will be very destructive, very displeasing also, isn't it? Therefore, he says here, he gives it, Nirgata Nikhila Kalmashataya Nitanta Nirmala Swantaha. He becomes highly, highly pure-minded, being free from all these impurities, which means what? And absolutely, relatively, he being free from all impurities. He becomes what now? He becomes the one who is endowed with fourfold qualifications. Okay? And such a person is an adhikari. Therefore, immediately, we will all decide now. We have not studied the Vedic chanting. We never went to Veda Patashala. We have not done Veda Adhyayanam. We have not studied any Sad Angas. Therefore, what happens? We will not be able to know the core vision of the Veda Shastram. We can't have the general understanding of all this punyam, papam, right action, wrong action, surga, naraka, all how artha kamas can be accomplished by performing rituals. All we will not have any understanding. And then we do not know whether we had past life or present life. And then we do not know really how to give up kamya karmas. We do not even know what are the nishiddham karmas, prohibited actions. So how to avoid them, how to prohibit them. So it is very difficult for us to become adhikari for knowledge. Therefore, let us not study Vedanta at all. Or let us not come to the class from next week. So you should not make such a decision. Okay? This only says, that is why he lost one, he says, what now? Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha. In Vedic period, in India, when people were following the Vedic way of life, born in Vedic culture, living in Vedic culture, living a life enjoined by the Veda, living a Vedic way of life, how easily in due course, either as a young person, because of the punyam one has earned in previous life or this life, one can straight away jump from, leap, skipping the two ashramas, straight away he can go to sannyas ashrama, or he can go through properly all the ashramas. Finally he can become a sannyas, go through sannyas ashrama. One can, anyway, doesn't matter, whichever lifestyle a person chooses, ultimately, both lifestyles are for what? Ultimately for knowledge and moksha. Therefore, whether a person chooses to go through the karma yoga life, chooses to go through the householder's life, or he straight away leaps to Naitika Brahmacharyam, doesn't matter. For both of them, end is the same. Jnanam is the same, isn't it? Therefore, nobody is superior, nobody is inferior. Is it clear now? Both are same. Both are equally great because for both of them, knowledge is the end. Knowledge of the truth is the ultimate end. Moksha is the ultimate end. That is why a householder is not inferior and a sannyasi is not superior. Is it clear? That's why the author makes it very clear. It only says, but now you can understand, you doesn't matter, vidhivat adhikrita vedaha, I am not, doesn't matter. Vidhivat adhikrita vedangaha, no, doesn't matter. You need not have studied the Veda mantras, done the Vedic chanting, hari the Vedic chant, Veda dhenam, not have studied the Veda angas, no, doesn't matter. You did not have the, but still by studying the Veda, Anta Shastram itself, you will have the general knowledge of the Veda. You know, you all have. Without having studied the, done the Veda Adhyayanam, studied the Vedic chanting, without having studied the Veda Angas also, even by studying the Veda Anta Shastram itself, you can have the same knowledge. Is it clear now? So for people who were deprived of studying the Veda, Vedangas, also can have this apatata jnanam, the general knowledge of the, they can have the core vision of the entire Veda. How? We're merely studying the Veda Antashastram. Now you are studying Veda Antashastram. That is why you don't need to worry about that. But what finally the teacher says is, sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. Okay, being endowed with fourfold qualifications is very important. The one who is endowed with the fourfold qualifications and naturally is the one who is qualified for knowledge. And he is the adhikari. Okay, now the questions might come. You said, this adhika, for one to become adhikari, to become the one who is endowed with fourfold qualifications, for having this discriminative knowledge and dispassion and disciplines, you know, and desire for freedom, to have these qualifications also, we have to avoid kamya karma, we have to avoid nishiddha karma, we have to perform nitya karma, naimittika karma, prayaschitta karma, we have to practice meditation. Means, what do you mean by that? You may have doubts. So next class, the author is going to present everything. What is nityam karma? What is naimittikam karma? What is patishiddham? What is nishiddham karma? What is kamya karma? What is prayaschitta karma? What is upasanam? Okay? What is meditation? How to practice meditation? Okay? All these things, step by step, he'll explain. Even though we talk about five types of karma, all big names, don't get frightened. Nothing, just doing the right, avoiding the wrong. Simple thing. Dharma anushtanam, you know, adharma varjanam. Avoiding adharma, living dharma is what is highly emphasized. So the author himself is going to explain every karma. So now we have not yet completed the topic of adhikari. We are still understanding adhikari. I have only introduced today the adhikari of the four anubandhas. I have introduced the first anubandha called adhikari. We have yet to understand the adhikari. What has been given here in a nutshell will be elaborately discussed later on. So we will, everything will become clear. Is it okay? I wanted to understand one important thing here. See, by studying the entire Veda, ultimately what one has to understand can be understood just by studying the Veda Anta Shastram. Therefore, if you study the Veda Anta Shastram, we can enjoy the benefit of the study of the entire Veda. Is it clear? So we don't need to feel bad, we have not studied Veda, etc. It's all right. Okay, stop the class now. Any doubts?
I have no doubt, but all I want to say is that the sannyas life is easier to avoid those karma rather than in your household. Marriage and it brings about a lot of complications. It's not.
That is how you grow. You have to see the limitations. To understand the limitations of everything, there is no sukham in this world, in any of these objects here. One has to understand, isn't it? You have, in fact, the whole life has to be lived to understand the limitations of everything in life. Without having lived this life properly, one cannot really understand the limitations of everything. Only when you understand the limitations, you yourself understand the limitations, you will naturally grow out of passion, desire for those things in the world. That is why the whole life is for preparation. Understand, the whole life is for preparation. In fact, emotionally, we always need to hold on to something. You cannot give up everything emotionally. You can't overnight become free from emotional dependence. Only in knowledge you are emotionally free, absolutely free from dependence. That is, freedom from emotional dependence is moksha. That is possible only in jnanam. But for which you need to be mature. It's not overnight, isn't it? Oh, if you give up everything here, if there is nothing for you to hold on to emotionally, and you are not eligible for you to, go for jnanam also, then life will be miserable. Then you hold on to something, and try to grow. In fact, Shastram itself, understand karma, live, perform karma, live this life. Get into this household life, live this household life, then grow in this household life, then grow out of household life. You can never grow out of something without having grown, isn't it? For you to grow, you need to live. To live, you need to enter. There is a pariksha lokan karma chitan nirvedamayad brahmanaha. Mundaka Upanishad says, a brahmanaha is the, in that particular verse, a brahmanaha is the one who is mature person, the indifferent person. Who is the mature person? Shastran says, the one who learns from one's own life's experiences is the intelligent person, is the mature person. Who is the dull-witted? Now, even having lived one's life for so many years, having gone through so much in life, still there is no desire for knowledge. Still there is no desire for moksha. Still there is desire for movies and films and all those things. Young people is okay. Even after having lived so many years, still there is no passion for knowledge. Still interest, still there is so much drawn towards worldly enjoyment of worldly things. See, enjoyment of worldly things and worldly pleasure is not at all wrong. It is for, the whole jagat is for enjoyment. But how long? When you're very young, the whole jagat is for enjoyment. Enjoy everything. But while enjoying, also learn. If you are learning, this life has served its purpose. You know, the life is really meaningful life if you have learned from your experiences. What is that final lesson? My God, that thing in the world is permanent. Nothing can really make me absolutely peaceful and happy. It is a fact, but this fact, others may not tell you. It should be your own clear, doubt-free understanding. You know, there is no sukkam in this world. But that you cannot just because by hearing somebody saying you can't decide. One has to live one's life. Enjoy everything. That is why Shastram does not expect anyone, you know, to deprive oneself of any pleasure here. You can enjoy anything here. Everything is for enjoyment only. Enjoy everything, you know, accomplish everything, have everything, but see, do your actions, but do anything and everything, but in conformity with dharma, enjoy it. All that, fulfill all your desires, no problem. But when you're fulfilling your wishes and ends, fulfilling your desires, accomplishing the ends you want to accomplish, there you must learn a lesson. By analyzing your own experiences in life, what is that lesson you have to learn? You know, they all have their own limitations. They're very beautiful, wonderful, nice, I've accomplished them. But all these ends and accomplishments, achievements have their own limitations that they cannot give me. One thing that I'm seeking choicelessly. That lesson, if you can learn, then this life has served its purpose. Isn't it? That is why to learn means you must be sharp. To learn this lesson from your life's experiences, you must be very sharp, intelligent. And for that, the special sharpness, intelligence required to understand this fact, you know, you must live a life of dharma. That's what Shastram says. Living a life of dharma is mainly for you to be intellectually sharp, to appreciate this fact when by analyzing your experiences, by going through the life. If you don't live your life, how are you going to have experiences? How can you analyze your experiences? How can you arrive at this fact? Isn't it? The Pariksha Lokan Karma Chitan Nirveda Mayad Brahmanaha means the Brahmana is the intelligent, mature person who really learns from his own life's experiences. Thereby, grows out of desire for artha kama dharmas, and becomes totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge, moksha in the form of knowledge, of the truth. Jnanam sharanam gacchami, shastram sharanam gacchami. That maturity. This is just the maturity. Therefore, you see, you become absolutely mature in jnanam. A human being becomes absolutely mature only in jnanam, totally mature. He cannot grow anymore. There is only in knowledge. So knowledge is absolute maturity. But becoming committed to the pursuit of knowledge itself implies what? Relative maturity. When you live a life of dharma, you are mature. By living a life of dharma, you become more mature. By gaining knowledge, you become the most mature. When you do not live a life of dharma, you are immature. Okay? The one who does not know the value of dharma, does not make any effort to live a life of dharma, is immature, according to the Shastra. 78 years of child only. The one who knows the value of dharma and commits oneself to live a life of values, and he is mature. And if he becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge, he is more mature. when he attains knowledge, he is the most mature. So this only the adhikari has been introduced. So we'll see every word what we have seen today again elaborately being discussed with the author himself in the following sentences of the text. Okay. Om Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.